Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're the shortcut to getting you really informed, fast. We take stacks of sources, cut through the noise, and just give you the core insights. Today, we're diving into, well, a pretty specific part of the car world. The sources we have are all based on some detailed research titled Excerpts from Used Chevrolet Pickup Market Trends. Now, that sounds huge, right? Millions of trucks, massive amounts of money changing hands.
Well, probably an enormous market.
But, you know, the way the sources are actually structured kind of sets our mission for us today. They immediately narrow it down. So we're pulling out insights specifically on this second part. Local market trends in used Chevrolet pickup sales.
Right.
So we're not just asking if location matters, that seems obvious, but looking at how the researchers actually quantify how it changes the game for these trucks, these sort of high-utility vehicles.
Yeah, and I think what's really key here is understanding why the research might start broad, but then instantly pivots. It recognizes the limits of just looking at the big picture. So we're synthesizing how these regional differences basically act as, you know, multipliers or divisors on the truck's value. Especially for durable goods, things meant for work, that local tag isn't just a detail. It's pretty much the main factor in valuation.
It's the algorithm, basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, so let's set the stage a bit first, using that initial broader source idea. Use Chevrolet pickup market trends, the macro view. When we talk about this market nationally, what are we really defining? What's the baseline?
Well, nationally, the big picture for this segment is, honestly, exceptional stability. Chevy pickups, they hold their value really strongly.
Why is that?
Primarily because they're utility focused. They're seen as essential assets, tools almost. So when we look at the national trend, we're talking about large scale economic stuff.
Like what specifically?
Broad depreciation curves, you know, based on age and mileage mostly. The impact of new models coming out nationwide or big shifts in national interest rates, maybe gas prices, things like that. And this gives you a sort of statistical average value. A dependable floor price, you could say, based on how well they're built and the fact that people everywhere generally need capable trucks.
Right. That national trend, it's like the market center of gravity. It sets the baseline expectation. But then, boom, the source immediately throws in local market trends.
Exactly.
It suggests that this national pull is always being pushed and pulled by local forces. So if the national data gives us this reliable baseline curve, why isn't it enough? Why isn't it good enough for, say, actual real-world buying or selling?
Because that national data, by its very nature, it smooths out all the important differences. It averages everything.
Okay.
And the market for utility trucks, it's just not uniform. It's not like the market for a basic family sedan, maybe. Pickups are overwhelmingly bought to solve very specific regional problems or industrial needs.
Such as?
Moving heavy stuff, handling specific terrain, maybe supporting local industries like farming or construction. National data just completely hides whether a truck spent its life, you know, commuting in the suburbs or being worked hard on a farm. And that matters a lot.
This is where the structure of our source material gets really interesting, actually.
Well,
it implies the researchers broke down these local market trends into key factors like levers pulling on that baseline value. Let's start with demand. Moving past just national buying habits, what makes up a local demand profile for a workhorse like a Chevy pickup?
Yeah, demand is huge locally. It really comes down to industrial specialization. The local economy is the big driver.
Okay.
We're talking about things like regional construction booms or agricultural cycles being strong or weak. Even things like local governments or utility companies turning over their fleets.
Right.
So a region that's, say, heavy into mining or oil and gas, it's going to have this intense ongoing demand for very specific high-spec pickups. Maybe ones with max tow packages or certain engines like heavy-duty diesels.
And that specific demand,
it creates a sustained regional premium. It just pushes prices up locally in a way that simply vanishes when you average it all out nationally. The aggregate data just doesn't see it.
So the local demand profile isn't just about how many people want a truck in general. It's about identifying those specific industrial uses that make it a necessity, that creates inelastic demand, right? People have to have it for their work.
Exactly. It's a need, not just a want.
So what happens to the value of just a standard truck when it lands in one of these highly specialized demand areas?
Well, that standard depreciation curve we talked about.
Yeah.
It essentially breaks. It doesn't apply in the same way.
How so?
The local market might put a really significant immediate premium on features that the national market just sees as, you know, optional extras, like four-wheel drives is a classic example, or heavy-duty engines.
Right, essential in some places, nice to have elsewhere.
Precisely. The local trend captures this efficiency. It reflects how local buyers are thinking they value the immediate utility, getting the job done now, more than maybe saving a bit up front. They need the right tool, and they'll pay a local premium to get that tool right away.
Okay, so specialized demand is lever number one. Let's shift to the second big one implied by the source structure, environmental wear and tear. A pickup's durability is obviously key to its value, but that durability gets tested very differently depending on where it's lived its life. How do local trends quantify this sort of environmental depreciation?
Oh, this is absolutely critical, because durability itself is valued differently based on location. The source material, by zooming in locally, it recognizes that environmental stress literally changes how fast the truck physically depreciates.
Okay.
We can kind of break this down into maybe two main types of wear you see reflected in regional data. Corrosive wear and abrasive wear.
Explain the difference there.
Sure. Corrosive wear, that's driven by things like humidity, road salt, and winter climates, being near the coast with salt air.
Rust belt stuff.
Exactly. That targets the frame, the suspension components, the underbody. It's structural. So in regions with high corrosive factors, the used market knows this risk, and the local trend will show a steeper depreciation, especially for older models where rust becomes a serious safety and structural issue.
Makes sense. And abrasive wear, what's that?
That's more linked to places with high heat, low humidity, maybe sandy or gravelly environments. Think Southwest U.S. perhaps. This hits different parts. Interiors get damaged by UV rays and heat. Paint fades faster. Air filters, engine components might get more strain from dust and grit. Now, while it's maybe less structurally scary than rust, it still means different maintenance needs, different costs down the line.
Right.
A local market trend factors in the expected cost of dealing with these specific localized kinds of decay. The valuation becomes this explicit regional assessment of how hard the truck's environment has fought against it.
So you're really analyzing the data, not just as numbers on a page, like a financial trend, but almost as a report on the typical condition of trucks in that specific area. That's much deeper than just a price guide.
Precisely. And if we connect this to maybe the final critical piece of local market dynamics, supply and logistics. This is really important for pickups. Unlike smaller items, trucks are big, they're heavy, they cost a lot to ship long distances.
Right.
They're what economists might call sticky assets. They don't move around easily or cheaply.
Okay, stickiness. How does that create volatility or differences that the national trend just completely misses?
It means supply shocks are intensely local. Imagine a big regional utility company or maybe a major construction rental place decides to sell off hundreds of specific Chevy models all at once in one city or region.
Okay, a fleet turnover.
Exactly, because it's just too expensive and difficult for buyers from far away to quickly come in and snap up all that inventory. That sudden localized flood of supply instantly pushes down the local value trend.
Even if nationally things are fine.
Right. The national average might be totally stable, maybe even ticking up.
Okay.
But the local market trend immediately shows the pressure, the inability of the physical market right there to absorb that glut efficiently.
That's a fundamental difference, isn't it? The price stops being about what the truck is sort of theoretically worth based on age and miles and starts reflecting immediate inventory levels and the real-world cost of moving these things around.
Yes.
So if one big local seller cuts prices drastically, everyone else locally kind of has to follow suit, regardless of what the national KBB value says.
It's the difference between, theoretical value and actionable price discovery. What can you actually buy or sell it for today here?
This segmentation, the focus on local trends that the source titles highlight, it's critical because it captures the friction of the real world, the cost of transport, the impact of weather, the specific industrial needs of a limited area. Okay, so let's bring this back to you, the listener. If you're actually in this market, maybe you're an individual thinking about buying a used Chevy pickup, or perhaps you're a dealer trying to figure out inventory strategy. Why is it so important to prioritize these local trends and maybe be wary of just relying on the national average? What's the practical takeaway here?
Well, because relying only on the national average means you're basically operating with incomplete, potentially dangerous information. It's a fiction, in a way.
How so?
If you're selling, you might seriously undervalue your truck if you happen to be in a high-demand, low-supply area. you'd be leaving money on the table.
Right.
Conversely, if you're sourcing inventory, maybe buying trucks to resell, and you're only looking at national data, you could easily overpay significantly if you buy in a region that's actually experiencing a supply glut, or where trucks typically suffer heavy environmental wear and tear.
So the local trend data is the only way to really figure out the true localized value.
It's the only mechanism that lets you calculate that localized residual value with any accuracy. It forces you to factor in that supply-demand imbalance we talked about and the realistic physical condition of trucks in that area.
You really have to know the local quirks. Like, do people in this area prefer certain cab sizes? Are there specific engines the local industries always demand? And what's the quantifiable rate of rust damage or sun damage common here? Mm-hmm. It's those localized data points gathered from thousands of actual sales in that specific place that define the real local market trend in used Chevrolet pickup sales.
And having access to and understanding that data that is the key to strategic advantage, it completely shifts the conversation from just generally understanding the market to actually navigating the real-world logistics and demands that control this specific segment, place by place.
So wrapping up this deep dive then, we've basically looked at why the researchers in the source material we had made this structural choice. Breaking down the huge topic of used Chevrolet pickup market trends into this much more critical, actionable slice. Local market trends in used Chevrolet pickup sales.
Yeah.
And we've confirmed that especially for these big, utility-focused, non-fungible assets, things that aren't easily swapped, national data gives you a starting point, a baseline maybe. But it's the regional dynamics, the specific local industry needs, the measurable effects of local environment, the friction of local supply and transport costs that really determine the actual trading value.
That really is the insight, isn't it? The closer you look geographically, the more complexity, but also the more reality is revealed. And, you know, this raises a really interesting question for you, the listener, to think about further. Given that these local trends already offer so much more detail than the national picture, how might even hyper-local factors play a role? Things like, say, a massive public infrastructure project starting up nearby that suddenly needs hundreds of temporary fleet trucks. Or maybe the sudden closure of a large factory in town that employed lots of truck owners. Could these create little micro bubbles or dips even within the broader local market trends we've discussed?
Interesting.
The market sensitivity to the immediate, very specific environment is just, it's quite astonishing when you drill down.
Absolutely. So the deeper you dive into the specific geography, the specific use case right there, the sharper and potentially more profitable your understanding becomes. Definitely keep asking those hyper-local questions. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into the mechanics of the local utility vehicle market.